God speaks to every one of us. But not every one of us has cultivated the habit of listening to the voice of God. In John, in the Christian Bible, John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, Jesus didn't say they were Christians. Because people keep forgetting there was no Christianity when Jesus was alive. And Jesus didn't say they are just Hebrews or Jews. My sheep hear my voice." In other words, Jesus didn't say they're only the priest or only the man or the politician. No. If you are God's children, Jesus regards you as being in the same community. So you will hear the voice. So when we hear Vox Populi, Vox Dei, the voice of the people is the voice of God. What does it really mean? It means if we gather together and we have one pointed mind on an issue and we ask God, you can count on it. God will respond. God will listen. Now, whether God grants you that, that's a different ballgame. Because God is all-knowing. He knows what is good for us. But do we know what is good for us? No. We always think we know what is good for us. But we forget, all that things goes into that. Our ego. There's nothing wrong with aspiring to be something. Not every kid who wants to be Muhammad Ali because of boxing is going to be there. They might not be designed for that. Not everyone who wants to swim like, what's that Olympia guy's name?
Michael Phelps.
Yeah, Mike Phelps. Not everybody will be there. So there's nothing wrong with aspiration, but is it good for you? That's the whole point. God will hear what you have to say. Because God, there is a connection between you and God. He's always listening to us. But then when God says, "Child, I've heard you, but I have a better plan for you." Instead of us to appreciate that, we throw tantrums because it does not meet what we want at that moment. And yet, the voice of the people is the voice of God. The voice of God is the voice of the people. But it's always, we're always going in one direction. We forget as it's above, so it's below. All is love, all is flow, all is, everything needs to flow. And nothing is static. If we recognize that, there will be no difficulty. We will acknowledge that people have different opinions and let them be. But we know God will always make the right call, isn't it? And it's so easy to always point the finger at the other person instead of pointing the finger at us. There's a Caribbean expression. You're judging somebody, you're pointing finger at them. Well, why don't you look at your hand? The rest of those fingers are pointing at you. And why was this brought in that Spirit said, okay, son, I want you to talk about this. Because it can be hard to tell the guidance from your own ego in disguise. We may listen, but sometimes we don't get it. Because other things cloud our mind. So tonight we need to learn, how do we differentiate between that divine guidance in us and our own other issues, ego, our own voice just speaking to us. Some of us, we've regulated, assume, okay, every voice that comes, that's God speaking to us. It took some of us some time to, you know, you have to work at it. True guidance is subtle and can be overshadowed by our own wishful thinking. Because the whole of conversation tonight is about discernment. So guidance is most trustworthy when what it tells you is something you don't want to do. Or at least something you will never have thought of yourself. Guidance is most questionable when it matches what you do want to do. Let us never forget that key. If all the guidance you get is about what you want to do, you know we're deceiving ourselves. Because if God's plan, if we're following God's plan, there'll be no demarcation. But most of us don't. That's just the reality. That's the fact. This is not fake news. This brings me to my early years of following this work. Where one, I know I'm called to do personal retreat, not to invite anybody else. Because I know what my struggles were when I was doing those retreats all by myself, and I didn't want to drag anybody else into it. But when I do talk about it, people feel enamored by it, like, oh, I like to do that. And I would say no. I mean, it's much easier now, the retreat we do now. Until one time, somebody said they would like to participate. And I was about to open my mouth and say no. And Spirit said, no. Let this person come in. And in my head, I'm thinking, there is no way. How are they going to handle this? It's not what I wanted. But it happened. And that was the beginning of this annual retreat. And then some wants to join, participate, because they are curious. Not because they feel there's something substantial that they will gain from it. Isn't that expression, excuse me, curiosity kills the cat. Isn't that what they say? Well, I don't want the cat to die. And until we train ourselves, it's like trying to run the marathon. If you just think you can just wake up and go and run the marathon, well, we know what's going to happen about that. You don't even know about stretching and all of that. Just because we have it in our head doesn't mean it's something that is good for us. And that's where we need to cultivate the habit of listening to Spirit, that Spirit of God guiding us. But if you feel the call to participate in the retreat where we are fasting 7 days, we're fasting around the clock, and we're praying around the clock, and you're beginning to have that trepidation, like, oh, I won't get enough sleep. I won't, you know, barely get enough food and all of that. Then maybe you are being called to do it. Why? Because the human nature, until it's disciplined, always want the easy way out. We always want everything, just ease and all of that. Otherwise, most of all, we won't even be calling on God. Because we know life is not like that. I'm asking any one of us, who knows somebody in their life who never went through any difficulty? It doesn't matter whether they are super saint or they are super sinner. But is that what we want? No. So the Spirit of God tells us to cultivate the habit of doing things we don't want to do. Because in the process, you will discover that the Spirit of God doesn't come in the way you think it will. But is that good for us? You betcha. So when we do that, we learn to recognize true guidance and follow it in spite of the obstacles. If everyone who's ever contributed to the world, if they ran away from the obstacle, we won't have electricity. There'll be no car driving, there'll be no airplane, there'll be no iPhone. I'm sure there'll be no Zoom. And even some of the dishes we cook that we enjoy, there will not be there. So you imagine, you have to go to the farm, go into the marshland and get those rice out of there, you know. And then you have to cook it. If you don't have firewood in those days, how are you supposed to cook? But they don't let it deter them. It's not like they can just turn on the faucet like we do now. People have to walk all the way to the river to get water. Now they are blessed if it rains, right? Hopefully it's not rain of acid, you know. So when we cultivate things that are not just easy for us, that are challenging, then we are ready to have that discernment of the Spirit of God. So no matter what we do, we should never be afraid of what life challenges come, because the one who allows that to happen, because we are participating, we actually initiate that. But we all, it seems that we tend to forget, isn't it? Because when we are able to do things that we don't like, then it makes it easier for us when our spirit begins to bring things that matches what we want. Because why? We've trained ourselves, we've removed that obstacle from us that, you know, doesn't want to face challenges. I mean, how many of us, we follow the footsteps of Jesus? Know that you will be born and they're going to kill you. I think most of us say, then why bother? I don't want to be born. I don't want to be killed. How many people want to be like Mother Mary, knowing that the child you gave birth to, they're going to beat the crap out of, and then they're going to crucify? The mothers I know, they, no, because their heart will be bleeding with sorrow. Isn't the world benefiting from that? You name all the spiritual teachers, men and women. Read about their story and see what they had to go through. Like they say, you don't know what the pot has gone through. You only see the result of the food being cooked. Why don't you become the pot and let them put you on the stove and let the heat, and then you will know. So when we talk about discernment, how do you know the difference between your talk, our own talk in our head, and the divine spirit? The problem with listening is that some people cannot distinguish between the voices in their heads. They can't discern the voice of God from that of their own egos. Discernment is the ability to tell the difference between two or more things that often are not immediately obvious. In this case, learning to discern the voice of true guidance from the rest of our mind chatter. Here's someone I know saying this. I have known people who seem to believe that every thought they have is the voice of God speaking. These are not crazy people who are out of touch. These are not crazy people who are out of touch with reality, because sometimes it's easy for us to judge that, oh, if he thinks, yeah, then. No, these are fine people. They are people who are on a spiritual path and are learning to listen, but get confused about the various messages they hear. Some of these people comes from different spiritual paths, because you could say, oh, they are fundamentalist Christian, or they are Orthodox Jews, or they are whatever label we put on them. And while others have no religious affiliation at all, these are fine people. And this is example. This, this friend of mine or somebody I know gave. Said a former friend of mine used to answer almost every question with, "I hear to say," as if he were listening to God directing every tiny aspect of his life. If I ask him, "What restaurant would you like to go to for lunch?" He will pause for a while, then say, "I hear to say that we should go to so-and-so restaurant." And that's why we say, when things like that begins to happen, it can be hard to tell the true guidance from our own ego in these guys. Here's the story. There's a Native American medicine man that we call Uncle Rod. People call him Grandfather Rod. He's passed on. God bless his soul. During when he was still here, there's a lady that came from Europe. Who had terminal breast cancer. Her name is Helga. So here's the story. We did not know Helga before a friend brought her to our lodge. That is the Healing Lodge. But we were told that she had traveled from Europe first to Peru and then to Nevada and Oregon in search of healing. She arrived at our place with only one day to prepare for the ceremony. This was our first time in a sweat lodge. And my friend said, "I instantly liked Helga, a tall, blonde, 40-something rider who was obviously unafraid and eager to experience the ceremony. I felt as if she had been a member of our community forever. She was very respectful and did not expect instant healing." What was the word? Instant healing. Most of us, we always think once we pray, it should be immediately. And we're not even talking any kind of healing, because we always think it has to be physical. It could be emotional, it could be mental, it could be financial. You might need healing for a job to show up, for you to progress on your job. You might need healing to give birth or to have a good relationship. Healing covers every aspect of life. Because if we are healed and restored to wholeness in every aspect of our life, we won't be where we are. We won't be a mess that we are. She was very respectful and did not expect instant healing. She spoke at length with Uncle Rod, but shared very little of her physical problems with me. This is my friend I'm talking about. Then the medicine man Rod asked her to fast for a day in preparation for the ceremony. I remember in those days, when people are eager to want to be part of the retreat, the only thing that keeps them away when they hear we're going to be fasting, they draw the line like, we are not doing that. And I know they would have enjoyed the retreat, but they, you know, the idea of fasting I mean, now we just do one day fast. In those days, we do 7 day fast. It's scarcer. And when Spirit tells you to do something that you do not want, you should count on it that there is a great blessing coming from it. It doesn't have to be about fasting. So she was asked to do it 1 day fast because that is necessary. There is a reason why there are protocols. So that it takes the mind away from, oh my God, this is going to happen. Or the desire that I really want the healing. You get what you put in. She said, she will usually beat the drums during the healing and do these songs. Let me just continue the story so that I'm not interjecting. I often drum for Rod during the healing lodges, as was the case this time. Usually he asked me to sing specific songs, but sometimes he allows me to choose which song to sing. And I have a list of songs that I usually select from depending on the need. The stones were very hot. Six of us, including Helga, who came for healing, were in the lodge. And the first two rounds were complete when Rod told everyone that I will be singing a song. It's up to her what song she sings, he said. I had no idea what song would be best, but there was a little time to pray and ask for guidance. You can never lose if you pray and ask for guidance. It doesn't have to take forever. All you have to say, Lord, I need help. Could you show me what to do? And be willing to listen. Even if it crosses your mind that you say, oh, the usual, like, I don't think that's the right thing. Immediately a song came into my mind, but it was a Sundance song, a song that is almost never used in a healing lodge. It's called the Strong-Hearted Woman Song. And it's about a woman who chooses to die when her husband does not return from battle. I debated with myself about using this song, thinking, as I've been told, Sundance songs are not to be used anywhere except at Sundance. And there are reasons for that. We're not going to be doing Laoka songs, you know, just because we feel like, you know, no. There are reasons why there are restraints. But the feeling was so strong, that's the key. The feeling of the guidance she was getting was so strong that I finally stopped judging, followed my guidance, and sang the song. I shared my understanding about the song with the others in the lodge. For me, this song is about not only what we are willing to die for, but also what we are willing to live for. I heard Helga, the European lady, crying as I sang. When the lodge was concluded, we had a feast as usual. You guys are used to that now. But we didn't discuss what had occurred in the lodge. It was a few days later when Helga told me that the song forced her to acknowledge her ambivalence about living or dying. The song helped her realize that she had a choice. She said she had decided to choose life, return to Germany, and get chemotherapy. If you want a helping hand from God, you need to make up your mind. God does not deal in ambivalence. You know, this is not Switzerland where you sit on defense. You don't want, you know. When you really want something, you have to put the energy, because you have to awaken that power of co-creation in us. Now, that is discernment. We should have gone against the protocol when they said you must never sing Sundance a song in any other atmosphere. I said, no. But when that spirit says, do it, in spite of fear, like, ah, you better do it. Now, if she hadn't done that, how would she have helped Helga to get that healing? Because that healing took place, not the instant healing, like, okay, now. Do you want to live or do you want to die? And she chose to live. Then go back and get chemotherapy. If you have never met those who don't like standard medical treatment, there are people I've met in the course of doing this work. They don't believe in, what do they call that, shots? Vaccination and all of that, It's okay. Until the Spirit of God speaks. Because most of us, our fears and other things clouds our judgment, our knowing what Spirit is saying. So when we say, well, God cannot be saying that for me to get vaccination or to go and do this. I want instant healing. In other words, I want the power to descend from above and heal me right now. I don't need to go to no doctor, none of that. Well, can God do that? You bet you. But if that's not what God chooses to do, who are we to question that? And then if it doesn't go according to the way we want, say, well, God is not available. God is not present. You know, God doesn't talk to me anymore. Forget God. I'm going to go my own way. But we will also learn from that, even when we choose to go our own way. We know what happened during COVID, when Spirit says, oh, this is coming up and all of that, we need to do this. Now, here's a listening exercise I would like for us to learn, to walk. And this is what they practice among the native teachers. And here is it. One of my native teachers suggested to me the following exercise, which I now pass on to you to help develop listening skills. Early in the morning or late at night, after your family is asleep, whether you live by yourself or you live by, you know. Disconnect the phone ringer and set up your altar in a quiet space in your home. If you do not have an altar, use a candle surrounded by objects important to you. These symbolic objects might be photographs, stones, or a special gift from a friend. Then light the candle and ask God, or your higher self, or your higher power, to help you to listen. Sit there for 15 or 20 minutes. For this particular discipline, it is better not to ask for guidance about something specific, but simply to empty your mind as much as possible and see what comes in. Does this sound familiar to those who meditate? As my teacher said, empty all your thinking. No comparing, no judging. Do this at least 5 days a week for 6 months. It will change you. continue, when I first began practicing this listening exercise, I was nervous. What if I were told to do something that was against my better judgment? This is another key we need to learn. Some of you have heard me say this. If you ask for guidance and it's not coming, follow what you know. And then if that doesn't work and something happened, now you have the right to go to the Spirit and say, I did ask for help. I did ask for guidance. I just didn't do this on my own. Because they might do that so that they can train you. And then they will wipe off your, your boo-boo, you know. And this is the same thing the native teacher was saying. What if I were told to do something that was against my better judgment? I thought about Jim Jones. Some of us may have heard about Jim Jones, who killed hundreds in Guyana, believing that he was instructed by God to do so. I worried that I might hurt myself or someone else. So I developed guidelines for myself that you are welcome to use. If as you listen, you hear to do something that could hurt anyone or yourself, don't do it. Now, someone will tell me about the story of Abraham and Isaac. Remember, he heard the voice, you know, take your son and all of that. Bind him and all of that, slaughter him. That's what we call the law of obedience. It's better to obey than to try and fix it. If it's the true Spirit of God, the same thing will happen to any of us. Didn't Isaac ask Abraham, Father, we are going to offer offering to God. We have the wood, we have everything we need, but where is the ram? The father couldn't tell him, you're gonna be the ram on the, you know. Some will say psychologically, we wonder what that did to Isaac. Because sometimes the thing God, the Spirit of God does, doesn't even make normal sense. It doesn't compute. But one thing I'm sure about is God will never ask you to harm yourself or anyone else. It's a test. And we know what happened to Isaac. Abraham didn't kill him because God said, don't lay one finger on that kid. Look in that corner, and there was a ram. Because God is not God of evil and bloodthirstiness. That's why God told David, yeah, I know you, but you have blood on your hands. You are much of a warrior, so you cannot build me a temple where people will worship me because that is not my thing. Now Solomon, who doesn't have blood on his hand, then he can build that to me. So when you are told to hurt yourself or someone else, do not do it. Other than that, try it out. Just because you are not comfortable with it doesn't mean you shouldn't try it out. If God tells you to eat zucchini, you better eat zucchini right there. Every day you say, I don't like zucchini. You might be like president. The senior Bush, you say, I don't like broccoli. Because eating zucchini, how is it going to hurt you? You might actually, something is going on that spirit wants to transform there. So this is what we call practicing discernment. You hear. So it probably might be something like, go outside and stand on the grass in your bare feet. Or call so-so-so-and-so on the telephone. Sometimes you may not hear anything, but you will feel centered by the simple act of sitting and meditating, practicing listening. There have been moments where we tell me, okay, out of the blues, do this or call this, and I do it, and it's exactly, you know. And if I ask, oh, they say they are fine, I am so happy. Probably they just want that connection. But if you don't obey, you will not be able to distinguish between your own thing and that of God. When the Spirit of God speaks, it's not always like bells and whistles, like people think. Sometimes they use our own personal story. They say, share that with someone, and you say, what has that got to do with that person? Because you cannot see the correlation. But then you do it, and it's exactly what that person needs to. Just like help. Sundance, Sundance, not supposed to, but it is what triggered her to make up her mind that she wants to leave. And the rest is story, is history. Let us learn to listen. Because then that's when we know the voice of God is the voice of the people. The voice of the people is the voice of God. Because when everything is in harmony, we will not be fighting each other. We will know exactly what plan of action to take. And then we will live a peaceful and prosperous life. And when we say prosperous and abundant, people always think money will flow from heaven. Look, if you are able to go to your kitchen and make a sandwich, you are living in abundance. You are living a life of prosperity. So if we learn to listen to God, learn to listen and listen to learn, all of us, we will know we are blessed. We will know we are true children of God, and we will continue to celebrate life instead of trying to cut each other down. And then we can say fully, the voice of the people is the voice of God. Because that God is inside of us and is guiding us. And then we say the voice of God is the voice of the people. May we live in that blessings. Amen.